All right, welcome everybody to RCFB Talk 46. We always fire up a little early when we have guests coming on. My name is Babak Hayeri. I'm going to be joined by my co-host Sirius and JD. So we're going to go ahead and get that all set up. We have a guest today, and he's going to be joining us momentarily, John Wilner, longtime writer for the San Jose Mercury News. His Pac-12 hotline is, oh, there he is. And he just joined us. His Pac-12 hotline column is syndicated across the Pac-12. So I'm going to go ahead and invite our guest to speak. I know we were able to sort it out. We just go ahead and made you a co-host.
You got me there?
Yeah.
There we go. There we are. How are you doing, friend?
We had a guest yesterday, a younger person, say that this is makes everybody feel a lot older when they try to join one of these. So have no fear. This is something we've dealt with many a time. We're just happy to have you joining us.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
So, obviously, you broke the news about USC and UCLA heading to the Big Ten. Based on your, because you're obviously one of the authorities on the Pac-12 with the Pac-12 hotline, how surprising was it?
Boy, that feels like 3 years ago, not 3 weeks ago. You know, it's one of those deals where, in the moment, it was surprising, stunning to me. Especially the UCLA piece. But in, you know, in the larger scheme, you figured something was going to happen, especially with USC, you know, potentially leaving the conference at some point. And I had been, you know, kind of monitoring the situation, checking behind the scenes with people over the course of a few months. And, you know, everybody, nobody really thought it was going to happen, was going to be imminent. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was this super small group of people who knew exactly what was going on, and it came together at the last minute. And there you have it. I'm still a little surprised about UCLA, I got to tell you, partly because I didn't think that the Bruins would be allowed to leave the same system as Cal, partly just because I don't know that it makes as much sense for them. But it is certainly a revolutionary piece to college athletics on the West Coast.
I was really curious to see that news about UCLA as well, because, you know, in historically speaking, we've always heard, you know, they want a TV market or they want a premier brand. To me, it always seemed weird that, you know, USC, they've always talked about forever, oh, we can go independent. Oh, we have the media clout that we could go somewhere. I'm not 100% sure what the Big Ten is picking up in getting both Los Angeles schools, as they could have gotten with one or the other. At least in your initial reporting, what has seemed to be the reason that they wanted both instead of one or the other?
Well, I mean, this is just my own conjecture, to be clear. But I think two things. One is, if you're USC, you don't want Washington or Oregon going, right? You want to box them out of the LA recruiting market from a competitive standpoint. Plus, you're a longtime partner with UCLA, and there's a lot of politics, you know, in Los Angeles at the, you know, highest levels of power. And I think that played a part of it. But also, if you're Fox, you want to get both. So you corner the market in LA. If you leave UCLA behind in the Pac-12 and ESPN does a deal with the Pac-12, then ESPN has access to LA. So it serves both USC's purposes and Fox's purposes at competitive levels to basically box everybody else out.
John, from the perspective of the schools, do you think that there's some incentive there for them to be able to kind of lock in a for sure cheap way to play a conference rival without having to incur the massive travel costs that they're going to be looking at for whenever they have to go to one of the other Big Ten teams?
I'm sorry, you're talking about USC and UCLA?
Yeah. USC and UCLA both going, that's a chance for them to say, all right, well, we've got these big costs to go play other Big Ten teams, but at least with this series, you know, it's just going across town.
Well, I mean, I think there's probably a little bit of that, right? It makes sense if, you know, for travel partners for both the LA schools and for the Big Ten. But I just think that Fox, you know, I think Fox had played a huge role in it. And if you're Fox, you want to just monopolize the LA market. You want to box out. And if you're USC, you would much rather have UCLA with you from a competitive standpoint than you would Oregon or Washington.
What football properties left in the Pac-12 are still desirable to the Big Ten and SEC? Because they really seem to have the opportunity to pick whoever they want at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it depends, right? I don't think the Big Ten's going to do anything unless Notre Dame's involved. So, you know, there's this confluence of events coming up soon, right? Notre Dame's last contract year with NBC for its home games is 2025, and that's also the last year of the current college football playoff. So you got to figure that something might change with the 26th season. But if Notre Dame wants to stay independent, I don't know that the Big Ten's going to do anything. I think if Notre Dame agrees to join the Big Ten, then it needs one other school or three other schools, right? It either goes to 18 or 20. If it's one other school, I think, you know, it may take a hard look at Stanford rather than either Washington or Oregon. If it wants to go to, you know, 20, then maybe it takes all three. But I think there's some appeal to for the Big Ten to having Stanford, not only academically, but also the Bay Area media market, which is not an access to Bay Area money, which is certainly not insignificant.
When it comes to any of these schools possibly looking at going to another school, or we see any kind of like mergers or partnerships between these Power Five conferences, or at least what's left of them, we're seeing a lot of new commissioners. Do you think if there's going to be a deal, can these commissioners set aside their egos to work out some form of a deal, whether that's an alliance, a merger, or something else like that? And what would that look like in terms of leadership?
Well, that's a great question. That was one of the issues with if the Pac-12 and Big 12 were going to merge, who's going to be in charge? Because one of the commissioners was going to be out of a job in that case. So I don't know. That's an interesting piece to it. You know, I think that there's a better chance right now that the ACC and Pac-12 create some kind of media alliance with ESPN as basically the vehicle, and you fold Pac-12 networks into the ACC networks, and you can give the ACC schools a little bit more money, and you stabilize the Pac-12, right? There was some talk about the Pac-12 and Big 12 merging. You know, ESPN reported two nights ago that those talks are now off. And look, I totally believe that. Pete Thamel is an outstanding reporter. I would say that nothing is 100% in realignment until it is official. So you probably can't rule out the potential for, you know, a few months down the road. Maybe those conferences start talking again in a different, about some kind of different structure. But there does need to be leadership. And, you know, you wonder with those three commissioners all being new, how that dynamic is going to play out and to what degree they're going to be able to lead their constituents as opposed to being in a position where they have to follow.
With the commissioners having to kind of jockey a little bit here, do school presidents and athletic directors need to play a bigger role in how they communicate and try to guide their conferences? Are they going to leave it in the hands of the commissioners and say, you know, we trust you to set aside your ego and your concerns about your positions in the future and do what's best for the conference?
Well, I think there's two pieces to it, right? There's the money piece, and the commissioners are basically charged with getting the best deals, but the ESPN's running their numbers and Fox is running their numbers, and they're telling the commissioners, all right, here's what we can offer you under scenario ABC. And then those get presented to the presidents. But there's also the institutional issue, you know, does a school fit on a whole bunch of levels, academically, geographically, culturally, politically? You know, that's the art piece to it. So it's a little art, little science. You got the money, and then you've got the fit. And the commission, the presidents have, you know, there's much more subjective with the fit piece and who do they want to be aligned with. The commissioners, you know, take the money to them and say, here's your number. So it's a two-level decision. Which level matters more? I guess it depends on which conference you are. and potentially which school you are within each conference. Because in the Pac-12, you know, Oregon and Washington have got different priorities and different options than Oregon State and Washington State do, for instance.
You know, that brings up an interesting question. How much, and I don't want to say it's blame, but how much of the current predicament should be laid at the feet of the Pac-12 presidents in all of this? Are they, responsible for the state of the conference? Because, I mean, Larry Scott, as much as people like to point to him, he'd be serving at their pleasure. And they certainly seem to have had a sense of value that wasn't shared by USC and UCLA.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately the presidents are absolutely to blame, right? They enabled Larry Scott's management policies. They approved his media strategies, and they kind of sat back and basked in the glow of being the conference of champions and not being very proactive or engaged in football. And football is the driving force for everything. It's certainly the driving force behind realignment. And so the years of kind of just, you know, neglect is one way you could describe it, I think absolutely has played a huge role, and the number one role in the current state of the conference. Scott was in many ways the vehicle for the president's mismanagement, right? Certainly you can blame him for the strategy, but hey, they approved the strategy.
So obviously now under new commissioner, George Kliavkov, who, I mean, obviously there's other presidents involved here. So who do you think might be the best leader within the existing group of Pac-12 presidents to help guide this conference out of its situation, or at least into a future that maintains its hopeful survival?
Yeah, the search for leadership. I think that's a fascinating piece of this whole thing. You know, certainly Michael Schill at Oregon, because it's Oregon. And Schill has been, up until July 1st, he was the chair of the Pac-12 board for the previous 2 years. And, you know, he obviously has got a certain Oregon alum who's worth, you know, a bazillion dollars, pushing him to find a good end game for the Ducks. But I also think Robert Robbins at Arizona may end up playing a big role here. He's passionate about football. He understands football at a level that a lot of his peers don't. Arizona is a key piece in terms of its interest in either staying in the Pac-12 or going to the Big 12. So Anna Marie Cause at Washington, because the Huskies have got some clout, I think, is another one. So it's interesting. There's no clear cut, in my opinion, no clear cut leader. And that says a lot about where the Pac-12 is and where the Pac-12 has been, in fact.
So as we look at what the Pac-12 will be, at least until these media rights are coming up, you know, we've seen these statements of unity of they want to go explore the media rights as soon as they can. What kind of value do these presidents currently see in the Pac-12? Is that going to change at all with these media right negotiations?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, they're together until they aren't, really. And they are waiting to see what their options are financially. You know, what kind of package is the commissioner going to round up, either from ESPN or some kind of combination of ESPN, Fox, and somebody else, right? They're waiting to see what their options are. And there's two levels to that. One is this current 30-day exclusive negotiating period with Fox and ESPN. And then if we get to early August and there's no deal, then that would indicate the Pac-12 is basically taking its media rights to the open market for the best bid. And then in that case, it could take many months. But I think all the schools are looking for a reason to stay together, but I don't know if they're going to get one. And I don't think, though, for sure that they're going to get one.
You mentioned going to the open market. Is there a serious third-party contender for these media rights other than ESPN or Fox?
You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where Apple and Amazon come down on this. And I think we'll get a little bit of a clue from the Big Ten's deal, right? Big Ten is probably a few weeks away from finishing up its media negotiations. And if Apple or Amazon show some kind of interest in getting college football, then that would probably be an encouraging sign for the Pac-12. But I think, you know, We'll see what NBC and CBS do with the Big Ten, and then that'll give us a better idea of whether either of them is interested in the Pac-12. Turner, I don't think you could totally rule out Turner at this point. But really what the Pac-12 needs is for ESPN to get boxed out of the Big Ten's rights to the greatest extent possible, because it will create value in the Pac-12 inventory for ESPN. That it's a supply-demand issue, right? The greater the demand for Pac-12 content by ESPN, the better. Meanwhile, if the Big Ten basically spreads its media rights out over ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, then the demand for Pac-12 content would go down, and that would be, obviously a bad situation. So I think the Big Ten situation will really dictate the direction of the Pac-12.
Beyond looking at the Big 12 teams, what are some teams the Pac-12 could or should look to if they decide to expand?
I mean, I think that San Diego State is a no-brainer. I just can't imagine the Pac-12 moving forward successfully without a campus within 300 miles of Southern California, right? I mean, that doesn't make sense. It's like the Big 12 moving forward without a campus within 300 miles of Dallas. You're not going to do it. So I think that San Diego State is basically a must-have. It also happens to be, the 27th biggest media market, so that helps. Plus, if you leave San Diego State out there, who knows? The Big 12 might come after it next year. So some of it would be a defensive move. The other school that stands out to me is SMU, because it's gettable being in the American, and because it would allow the Pac-12 to kind of plant its flag in Dallas and, expand its territory, so to speak. I don't know that San Diego State or SMU are real value adds, but I think that strategically they both have some benefits that the Pac-12 probably wouldn't consider if not for its depleted state, right? If USC and UCLA are still there, I don't think it's going to give a second thought to San Diego State or SMU, but the dynamic has changed.
In terms of where these two conferences are looking at, as you're saying, any kind of expansion that either of these schools could do, or these conferences could do, rather, if you're one of those teams, like a San Diego State and SMU, do you find bigger strengths in the Big 12 or the Pac-12 as of this moment?
I mean, I think that for both of those, geographic alignment would be a priority. So for San Diego State, if you gave them the option, Pac-12, a stable Pac-12, right, or going into the Big 12, I think for sure they'd take the Pac-12. They've been trying to get in the Pac-12 for eons, and it makes a ton of sense for them on multiple institutional levels. And the same thing for SMU in the Big 12, but it's possible that neither school would have a choice. I mean, you got to think that geography, to me, forget it, USC and UCLA is an outlier. I don't San Diego State is particularly looking to have its Olympic sports teams go to Orlando or Morgantown. And I don't think that's the case with Washington and Oregon too. I don't think they want to send their teams to three time zones away. At the same time, I don't know that the Big 12 would want to send, Iowa State isn't going to want to send its tennis team to San Diego. That's what is so unique about the situation with the LA schools. And I do think that there's going to be some buyer's remorse for both of them, especially UCLA, as it regards their Olympic sports. Having that just immense travel demands, you got your tennis team playing in College Park, Maryland one weekend, staying in hotels, then going to Bloomington the next weekend. I mean, that is a tough ask. And they claim that the money is so great that they're going to deal with it. But, the money is not going to be so great for the other schools and the other leagues. So it's really, that's a piece of it people are overlooking.
I am a little curious, at least when it comes to when you talk about geography still having some kind of role. It's hard to not think back of, you know, the early 2010s when Boise State and San Diego State were both going to join the Big East. But then I also think of, you know, with this new Big 12, we're going to have Central Florida with no close proximity to anybody. They're going to be going to Morgantown. They're going to go to Cincinnati. They're going to go to Houston in terms of sending any of their other Olympic sports out there. With that being said, how much does geography still play into any kind of this realignment?
I think it does play a significant role. But, you know, for UCF, that was a significantly better, markedly better opportunity. You know, getting into the Big 12 was a big jump up, and it makes the travel demands and the costs associated worth it in the eyes of the school. I don't think that there is a huge difference financially between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 moving forward. So it's not going to be an obvious win for a Pac-12 school to join the Big 12 and have to travel its Olympic sports across the country. It's not like what UCLA and USC are doing when they're doubling their money. I just don't think that there's going to be that big of a disparity in the two leagues' next media deals. So for UCF, it was one calculation, but for for Washington to join the Big 12, that's a different calculation. And it's, to me, it's not as clear that it's worth it financially.
You know, I was just kind of curious, where is Utah in all of this, especially with the rumors of them and the Arizonas and Colorado possibly obviously going to the Big 12? That was one of the first questions. And I mean, it's hard not to wonder, especially after all those years as an independent, if BYU, you know, did they get the better deal after waiting all those years in this new conference alignment, or is Utah going to be able to find a home or take some advantage in all of this?
I mean, I think Utah is going to be fine, right? It's a good enough, it's done enough with its football brand that it's going to be fine. I mean, if something doesn't work in the Pac-12, they'll go to the Big 12. Which school is better off? I mean, it certainly has changed for BYU standpoint, right? They are in a much better position in the 12. And that was the case even before, you know, USC and UCLA left. They're better positioned than when they were independent, I should say. So, I don't know. Utah will be fine. Oregon's going to be fine. Washington's going to be fine. I don't know for sure where that's going to be. I think all of them want a reason to stay in the Pac-12 and are hoping for a reason to stay in the Pac-12. But they're waiting to see if they have that reason.
Is there going to be a magic number when it comes to compensation for what the what is good enough to stay versus if they need to go and try to find a home somewhere else? I mean, obviously they're not going to be looking at the same kind of money as the Big Ten and the SEC teams are projected to get. But how close do they need to be before they go on the open market?
Well, yeah, that's the $35 million question or so. You know, I don't know if the presidents and the athletic directors have a hard number in mind. The Pac-12 was probably going to get, when you total it all up, somewhere in the $50 million a year range in media rights, but that includes the playoff and March Madness. The specific regular season broadcast agreements are only a piece of that. So I don't know. 30, 35 million would be my guess. If they could get that, they'd probably be pretty happy. And I think that's probably somewhere around where the Big 12 is going to end up. Right. That's the thing. If you knew, if you're Oregon or Washington or Utah, and you said, okay, you're going to get a couple million more per year in the Big 12. I just don't know that that's worth it for them. Especially for the Northwest schools, with all the demands that would come with it. If it's a $10, $15, $20 million difference, then maybe it is worth it. I am not convinced that the difference is going to be big. I think it's more on the margins. If you look at the media markets and the brands of the schools involved, I think the difference financially is going to be on the margins. So where the Pac-12 presidents want to get, somewhere in the 30s for sure. But I don't know exactly where it would be.
Does UCLA have much to worry about from these grumblings coming from California Governor Gavin Newsom?
Well, the thing is, California, I would say they probably ought to be a little bit concerned, right? UCLA gets $320 million a year from the state. And if you've got the governor on a rampage, it's, you know, that's not a comfortable position to be in. I don't know what's going to happen with this, right? And I'm not – it is clear that Gavin Newsom is upset at the process and the lack of transparency. I'm not as sure as, you know, how much UCLA actually being in the Big Ten is a problem to him. He may – you know, there may be a push for UCLA to subsidize Cal or other UC schools for a little while with some of its Big Ten money. But I don't know for sure that he is, you know, going to put his foot down and try to stop the Bruins from moving into the Big Ten. He definitely, though, is irate about the process. And a lot of people are. It is, you know, the UC Board of Regents, you know, they'll hold a public meeting to decide what kind of toilet paper to put in the dorm rooms. And here you got UCLA pulling, you know, a Baltimore Colts move in the middle of the night without any kind of transparency. And that's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
So how valuable is Pac-12 after dark?
Well, I think it's pretty darn valuable, especially to ESPN. You know, Pac-12 is the only conference that can fill that window. And it is an important window, 10:30 Eastern. There's still people watching, and it's a unopposed broadcast, right? There's no other Power Five going on at that time. So it seems to me like it's pretty valuable. I don't have an actual number to put on it, but I do know that the contract that the Pac-12 currently has is based a lot on filling that window. And what happens if all of a sudden that goes away? What ESPN's gonna have to put billiards on Saturday night, right? So
Hawaii does play football. That's right.
Well, that's true, but Hawaii is not on ESPN. So, you know, that the Mountain West also has contracts for late night games because CBS values those as well, right? So I don't know exactly to what dollar figure ESPN would assign to that 7:30 kickoff, but I do think that ESPN wants the Pac-12 and wants college football to remain viable on the West Coast so we can fill, you know, 13 Saturday nights in the fall.
John, last question, as I know that we are at 2:30 and we need to be letting you go here in just a second. Do want to ask, obviously, during realignment, we hear every rumor under the sun and you hear triple, if not, you know, 100 times more the rumors. At what point do you ever feel comfortable with the rumblings that you hear from sources to finally pull the trigger and say, hey, this is what I'm hearing as a vetted source?
It all depends on who it's coming from, right? And what it is, you know, you hear some stuff from people you completely trust, but it's not necessarily information that's worthy of being placed in the public realm. It's just a filter process, and you just have to, you know, it's reporting is like almost everything else, right? It's about relationships. It's about trusting people that they have solid information, and then deciding whether that information is worth publishing. I mean, I publish, you know, a tenth or a 20th of what I hear, because a lot of it just isn't necessarily relevant. So it's a lot of it's very much a feel.
Well, John, we just wanted to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. This was a really useful and interesting conversation, I think, for everyone who tuned in.
Thanks a ton for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And for those of you who are just joining us, I was John Wilner. He is a longtime sports writer at the Mercury News in San Jose. His Pac-12 Hotline column is syndicated across the footprint of the West. And all of these Twitter spaces are automatically recorded. So if you missed any of it, once this ends, you can just listen to it and it'll be the recording of everything you just heard. I just wanted to give a quick heads up. We have a few more interesting Twitter spaces coming next week. On Monday, the 25th, we're going to be joined by UTSA head coach Jeff Traylor at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesday at 10 p.m., we're going to be joined by Nicole Armbach of The Athletic on Tuesday of the 26th. On Wednesday, the 27th, we're going to be joined by Houston head coach Dana Holgorsen. That time is going to be TBA right now, but it's probably going to be in the afternoon. And then on Thursday morning, on the 28th, we're going to be joined at 10 a.m. Eastern by Phil Steele. So that should be a group of interesting conversations we're hoping to have. We always enjoy when all of you tune in. So on behalf of myself, Bob Akairi, on behalf of JD, on behalf of Sirius, we are so happy to have you all listening in. So again, this will be turned into a recording as soon as this is done. So I'm going to hang up and listen.